Gravitas Impact offers a global community of the world's top business coaches. We strive to empower our coaches and clients alike to achieve their extraordinary goals.
Good afternoon, everyone. Keith Kupp, CEO and leader of Gravitas Impact Premium Coaches. Today, we have the author of Selling Boldly, Alex Goldfein. Alex, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Alex, tell us about yourself.
So I run a revenue growth consulting practice. Last year did $3 million. This year it's going to do between $4 and $5 million. And I work with mid-market companies, precisely the kinds of people listening to your podcast now. And my client grows 10 to 20% annually. That's what they add in addition to whatever they budget. So if they're budgeting 15% growth this year, they add 10 to 20 on average. Some add 30, some add 40, some add a little bit less. But everybody I work with, and I only work with one or two new clients a month. That's all I have capacity for because I work by myself. Everybody who does the work that we're going to talk about today adds to their sales fairly quickly and fairly dramatically. And so that's where it comes from.
Okay. So you are regularly consulting with mid-market companies in this area of sales growth. Let's get back to your thesis that reactive selling is costing the CEOs that are listening in their companies millions of dollars, if not more. What's the data behind that or the examples? Develop that argument a bit.
Sure. So very quickly in a salesperson's career, they go from not having a book of business. And so when you hire somebody new, they don't have any business and they have to do the work to build a book of business. And this work is proactive, right? Because there's nobody buying. And so when they build it up enough and they get enough business to where the phone calls start coming in, somewhere around year two or three in a salesperson's timeline with you, with your company, they transition almost imperceptibly, meaning it happens without anybody knowing that it's happening. They transition from being proactive because they have to be out of necessity to being reactive because there's enough calls coming in now. And the vast majority of salespeople who maybe they work for manufacturers, maybe they work for distributors, maybe they work for service companies. The vast majority of salespeople become order takers. And order taking is not selling. Order taking is gathering what's around you, right? Picture somebody sitting in a field and there's things around them. And if they can reach it without getting up off their butt, they get it. But proactive selling is getting up and going to the customer or the prospect and either helping your existing customers more, because as we sit here today, as you listen to this, your customers are buying things from the competition that they could be buying from you. And we know this. And so we can help them buy more from us. And the other part of this, of course, is to bring on new customers, because there's an awful lot of people who could benefit a great deal from your value who you're not selling to now. But of course, if we're only order taking, it's quite impossible to sell to prospects. In fact, most salespeople, here's one and then I'll stop, Keith. Most salespeople only talk to the people who are calling in, right? And the people that are calling in tend to be unhappy customers, right? Most people don't call when it's good, right? We don't get a lot of calls that say, great job, that was awesome, can I pay you more? So we tend to only hear from unhappy customers. And so your sales organization spends about 100% of their time dealing with the 10 to 20% of customers who are unhappy. And that is quite literally the only kinds of people that they talk to. And that is why I say that this kind of reactive selling, which is based around fear, because they only talk to people who are unhappy, this type of reactive selling has cost you tens of millions, hundreds of millions, and depending on your size, quite possibly billions of dollars.
So Alex, you've made an interesting statement I want to come back to. So if I'm a CEO listening in right now, how do I know that? How can I figure that out? How can I prove to myself that my selling team is more reactive than proactive. What would you counsel me to do?
Well, guess how many hours per week, this is across all companies and all businesses, guess how many hours a week the average salesperson spends on the phone? With 40 hours in a week across all companies and all industries, the average is four. Mm-hmm. 4 hours per week on the phone. Now they work for 40. So I would say one way to know this is ask your salespeople, or if you have phone records that will show you this, go look at how many hours per week your outside salespeople are spending calling out to customers and prospects proactively.
Okay, and good point there. You can't manage what you don't measure. So having that measure of how much time on the phone, outbound versus inbound, is very helpful. So let's pivot now to where you left off a few moments ago. Talking to happy customers, talking to the 20%. What happens there when a sales team begins to be proactive and talks to happy, satisfied customers?
Right, because we have to be proactive in order to talk to the happy ones, because they don't call us. It's not incoming because they're good. Just as when we're at the restaurant and the waiter or waitress is making mistakes, we call the manager over. But when the waiter or waitress is doing well, we do not call the manager over to compliment the waiter or waitress. So that's how that goes. The happy customers don't come in. And so when my clients, who are all mid-market companies, as I said, when they go out to the happy customers and they say to them something like, what are some of your favorite things about working with us? What do you like best? What we start to hear is what we're good at. What we start to hear is what they value about us and why they've been with us for 10 or 20 or 30 years. And when we start to hear that, when we start to internalize that, ironically, what happens is we get the fuel or the foundation for becoming more proactive. When we know how good we are, the key to this work, to adding this 10 to 20%, is to know how good you are. And that comes from the happy customers. It's weird to sit down at your desk and write down why you're good. We have to hear it from people who pay us. And when we understand how good we are and when we believe it, well, now it's easier to behave accordingly, to behave as though we're very good, which we are, but we don't know it if we're only listening to unhappy customers who are the only ones calling us. So go out to the happy ones, understand your great value, and then behave accordingly, which means proactively.
So Alex, what I'm kind of taking away from this a little bit is I think in terms of there are three types of clients out there, prospective customers. And if you're a sales team, then you have the inbound, which I hear you saying are those who have a problem, a challenge, maybe not happy. You have outbound calls to prospective customers. But what you're making really clear here is outbound calls to existing happy customers.
Yes.
As part of your strategy. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's exactly right. We have to. What happens is we need to marinate your sales teams in the positivity of your happy customers, and because they're not getting any of it. And literally in a day, as I do these all-day workshops with my clients as a part of the programs that I do, in a day, they take a step or two out of the muck that they're in every day, which is reacting to the problems of the unhappy customers. And they take a step or two towards knowing how good they are and understanding their great value, because we come in with the phone calls of the happy customers, and we play the recordings in the room. And again, we marinate them in this positivity. But you don't need me for this. You can do this yourself. You can go call happy customers and say, listen, what do you like best about working with us? We'd like to do more of that. We'd like to improve. And that's, again, the key step. That's the foundation. That's the fuel to go from fear and reactivity to confidence and optimism and proactivity.
So this may be the big takeaway on the podcast for CEOs. We'll let them decide, but make sure that your sales teams are not only calling prospects, responding to client challenges, but also every day having a dedicated outbound dial to happy customers. And then, Alex, that leads to what do you ask them? What are some of the questions that are routinized that a sales team would want to ask? Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So the first question is, listen, we're trying to improve. We'd like to serve you better. What are some of your favorite things about working with us? And then they will tell you. It's amazing what happens when you ask somebody for their opinion. They actually tell you. Nobody ever says, no, I'd rather keep my opinion to myself. They actually tell you. And because nobody asks. Quite literally, nobody asks. And then you listen to the answer and you say to them, how does that help you? What gets better for you when we do these things? So they're going to say something like, well, they're always there for me. You return my calls quickly and you deliver quickly. And then the response is, how does that help you when we do those things? Well, it saves me time. Well, how much time would you guess? Ballpark it for me. And you can use percentages. Well, working with you saves me 20 to 30% of my time. 20 to 30% of my time is a big freaking deal. That's a day to a day and a half a week. That's 50 days a year. And if they've been with you for 10 years, that's 500 days. And once your salespeople start to get exposed to this a little bit, they say, wow, this is what I do. You mean I'm not just selling this product or this service, right? I'm not just selling, let me just use specific things. These are things my clients do. I'm not just selling pipes and valves. I'm not just selling lumber. I'm not just selling cartons. You mean I'm saving people time and I'm making their lives easier and I'm helping them look good to their customers and their boss. This is what I do. And then I say to them, they believe in your great value. Now you believe in your great value. They know how good you are. Now you understand how good you are. And now let's go behave accordingly. Let's go offer people more products and services that they can benefit from. Because as I said at the very beginning, Keith, your customers are buying things from the competition that they could be buying from you. So we need to ask them, did you know questions? Did you know we can also help you with X or Y or Z? Very complicated techniques. It's as simple as it gets. They're easy, but the system is where the magic is. If all of your salespeople ask a did you know question or two or three every day, you will see your business grow dramatically.
Hey, Alex, I want to pause and CEOs listening in. Literally, if you have a pen or a pencil and paper, I want you to write the three letters down. Write them as big as you can. D-Y-K. And that means, did you know? And think about all of the products and services that you may have available to your market that your clients aren't buying today. That's the second half of the did you know. So D-Y-K, CEOs, take that away as one of the key items from today.
So at one recent follow-up workshop, so my client, in this case, was a $300 million manufacturer of all things metal racking for appliances. So they make the shelves for ovens and dishwashers and refrigerators. But their customers are companies like LG and Whirlpool and so on. So not a lot of customers, but a lot of really big customers. And one of the salespeople stands up and he says, it dawned on me about 2 weeks into doing this work after the workshop, that when I go to my customers proactively, I am the only one that is calling them that's not bringing a problem to them. I'm the only one that is calling them with value. Because just as customers call us when they have a problem, Keith, when do customers hear from suppliers? When do suppliers call customers the other way? Only when they have a problem. And so he talked about a recent phone call that he did. He called his customer. And he says, Jennifer, it's Brian. How are you? And Jennifer says, what's wrong? And he says, nothing's wrong. I'm just calling to check in. How are you doing? And she says, what do you need? Because people only call Jennifer when something's wrong or they need something. And he says, I don't need anything. I'm just checking in. How are you? And he says, there was a long pause, about 10 seconds. He didn't even know she was there anymore. And then she said, really? Nobody calls me like this. Mm-hmm. And so imagine the power of his mindset shift from, I don't want to bother them and I don't want to annoy them, to I'm the only one who calls them with value when nothing's wrong. And this guy's sales have more than doubled, this individual's sales. They've more than doubled. They've gone up 2.5 times because now he goes to people and he knows that frankly, he's not lucky that they've taken the meeting. They are lucky that he's there with them. And that's actually true. And that's true for everybody listening right now. They are not, you are not lucky when they pick up the phone. How lucky are they that you pick them to call them?
Alex, before we go to the final question and come to a close on the podcast, give us some more data, some more stats here on change within companies.
Sure. So we know, I'll give you some specific examples. We know for a fact, statistically, that 20% of did you know questions turn into a new line item. So if somebody buys a major product from you and you ask a did you know question about a complementary product, then we know that 20% of those will close. So Keith, give me an idea. Give me like a typical number of salespeople that one of your listeners might have.
Okay, let's say they have a dozen sales team members.
Okay. They have a dozen sales team members. Are there customer service people too? Are there inside / customer service people in addition?
They would be on a different team nearby.
Okay. So let's say how many of them? Another 12, let's say?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's use 20 as a round number just so for easy multiplication. Let's say 20 people ask 5 did you know questions a day each. And a did you know question takes 3 seconds, right? Did you know, in your world, Keith, a did you know question might be what? Did you know we can also do what for these CEOs?
CEO coaching.
CEO coaching. That took Keith all of 1 second to say. All right. So did you know we can also do CEO coaching? So a did you know question takes 3 seconds to ask at a maximum, right? Probably less. So if we're asking your people to ask 5 did you know questions a day, that's 15 seconds total. To people who they're already talking to, right? These are on we can do these for customer service on incoming phone calls. So 20 people doing 5 did you know questions a day, that's 100 did you know questions a day. That's 500 a week, that's 2,000 a month. And if my math is right, that's 24,000 a year. We know that 20% of those will turn into a new line item. So 20% of 24,000 is 4,800. 4,800 new line items. So now we figure out what's the dollar value per line item.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the data very, very much. So let's bring things to a point here. You had offered a practical tool for CEOs to download. Talk about that briefly and we'll be done for the day.
Sure. You want to talk about the Did You Know Planner?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. One piece of paper. Split up into just, I think, 3 or 4 columns. And you know how the football coach stands on the sidelines, Keith, with a laminated play sheet?
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about? It's got different colors on it. So that was my thought with this Did You Know sheet. And the power of the Did You Know sheet is it has room to write down your 4 major products or product categories that a customer might buy. So if the customer buys this, Keith, give me a major product of somebody who might be listening right now.
Okay. Let's see. I want to go to computer hardware equipment.
Okay. So if the customer buys this kind of server, let's say, here are the 5 or so products that I can ask a did you know question about. So if the customer buys a server, did you know we can also help you with what? Give me one thing.
It's service and installation.
Service and installation and maintenance. Very good. Another did you know thing might be additional hard drive space. Another did you know thing might be additional accessories like monitors and flat panels or networking for them. So what we want is 4 or 5 of your major products. And if they buy this thing, here are the did you knows. But if they buy that thing, here are the did you knows. And everything fits on one piece of paper. And the key with this, as with all of my planning tools, is to keep it in front of your eyeballs. Keep it in front of your face when you interact with customers. And so we put one on every salesperson's desk. It's filled out either by them for their own individual work, or it's filled out by us and simply given to them. And their job is not so much to sell it, particularly the customer service folks. Their job is to plant seeds, right? Because sales is a game of time and planting seeds. So this Did You Know tracker helps people ask the right Did You Know question. It simply reminds them to ask Did You Know questions, 20% of which turn into business.
Alex, thank you so much. Let's end with this. So CEOs, we will have a copy of this downloadable Did You Know tool And then you can also go to goldfayn.com. That's GoldFayn.com for more tools and videos. Alex, let's end with the story of your life. Tell us why you do what you do. In about 3 minutes or so, tell us your story.
The story of your life in 3 minutes or so.
There you go. Like,
I was born in Ukraine, which at the time was the Soviet Union. And I was brought here when I was 2 years old. So that was 40 years ago, 42 now. And we came here with $20 and no English language and didn't know anybody. And the only person that wanted to come was my dad. And he dragged us out, my mom and my grandma, my grandpa and my great grandma and I. And he brought us here to America, to the greatest country on the planet, so that we can all chase our dreams. That is who I work for. I work for my dad, who got me here. I work for my family now. I have 9-year-old twins, a boy and a girl, and my wife. I know who I work for, and I know why I work. Now, we lived in 400 square feet in the Ukraine, and there were six of us, and now because we went back about 5 years ago to see it, and now there's eight people who live there. Wow. So when I don't feel like it, and when I don't want to, and I have those moments just like everybody else, I think about who I work for, I think about why I work, which is the people I just ran through, and then I do it anyway, because they deserve that from me. I owe it to them, and I do it.
Alex, thank you so much. CEO's Alex Goldfayn, Selling Boldly, and thank you for listening in today on the podcast from Gravitas Impact Premium Coaches, and look forward to our next one coming up. Take care, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Keith. I'm grateful.
Okay. Bye-bye.
For more valuable content and actionable resources, visit www.gravitasimpact.com.